my lesson is entitled, A Marvelous Gift. A Marvelous Gift is the title of my lesson. There are several titles you could probably use in this passage that I'm going to deal with. The incident, as I mentioned in Bible class, last Lord's Day, I just happened to be studying from the Gospel of Mark, and I came across this passage of Scripture. It's an incident that occurred in the life of Jesus. And I could not get this woman off of my mind all week. I've been thinking about her all week and how Jesus admired this woman. What a marvelous woman she is. What a wonderful example she is for us. And there are some very valuable lessons that we can learn from this woman. Now, if you have your Bibles, please turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Jesus had been teaching here. He's trying to get across, in particular, he was trying to get across to the religious leaders of his day that God does not judge one because, or he is not, how do I want to put it, he's not looking for somebody with a prestigious office or somebody with fine clothing or some type of outward acts of righteousness. He's not looking for that. He's looking at the character of an individual. That's what makes somebody acceptable unto him, is what type of character do they have? He'd been dealing with the scribes, the Pharisees. In Mark chapter 12, you notice in verse 38, he said unto them in his doctrine, this is Jesus, he said, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing. They love salutations in the marketplaces, the chief seats in the synagogues, the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense, they make long prayers. Jesus went on to say, these shall receive greater damnation. In other words, they're going to receive more severe judgment, is what he's saying there. Now you notice what he referred to there. He refers to these individuals as devouring widows' houses. In other words, they would take advantage of widows. Now that's not what God accepted. This is not something that was pleasing unto God. God had special laws in His law protecting widows. In Exodus chapter 22, verses 22 and 23, these words are written, ye shall not afflict any widow or orphan. If you inflict any at all, and if they cry out unto me, I will surely hear their cry. This was upsetting unto God. This was something that God did not accept and was not pleasing unto Him. God's people were instructed to give a tithe to the stranger, to the orphan, and to the widow. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 12 and 13. In Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 19, a curse is pronounced against anyone who refused justice to widows or orphans. Then Jesus goes in verse 41. I just love this. It kind of upsets me. What a marvelous individual this woman was. Maybe this woman was someone who these scribes and Pharisees had took advantage of. We don't know that for certain. But this Jesus sat over against the treasury. That means he sat next to the treasury. And he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Now, you have to get a picture of what's taking place here. This was in what was referred to as the court of the women. That's the part of the tabernacle. That was the part of the temple that the women were permitted to go into. Now, in this court of the women, there were 13 trumpet-shaped chests. These chests were where the individuals would make their sacrifices to the temple worship. They would drop their coins into these trumpet-shaped chests, is what they were. They were called, back then, they were called the trumpets, is what they were called, because they were in the shape of a trumpet. Now these, the money that was given there was for special works, for needs of the temple, such as oil and wine for the sacrifices. Now, evidently, this must have been a busy time when Jesus was there, because there were a lot of people here. He was watching all these people cast money into the treasury. And many of them were rich, casting in much. They were put, and oftentimes, in historical accounts of this, the religious leaders of their day would make a show of putting their, and they would even shake the vessels to show, look at all those coins that are jingling down in there that I'm giving for the temple worship. Jesus is there. And who comes in? A certain poor widow. A certain poor widow came in. Jesus admired this woman. Now, if I don't mean to go off, but I've got to go, and I know I don't want to elaborate too much, but you've got to go back to the original language to understand just who this woman was. What this language is referring to. A certain poor widow. The wording, if you go back to the original language. This lady was alone. She had no one. Evidently, her husband had passed away. Evidently, she had no family because she was, this refers to a woman that was alone. She had no one. She had no one to help her. No one to help her meet her needs. And she was a certain poor widow. This word poor means one who labors for their own bread. In other words, this lady worked for whatever she got. She wasn't lazy. This woman worked to provide for herself. And do you know what she got for a day's wages? 2 mites. 1 farthing. We took a look at this in Bible class this morning, didn't we? What was two mites or a farthing worth? It was worth 1/16 of an individual's, of a regular worker's daily wages. That's all this woman got for whatever she did. She got 1/16 of what a normal person would get every day. This wasn't even enough to buy a loaf of bread. She could get a pigeon or a sparrow. A sparrow was worth that back then. Maybe that's what she did to provide for her own. This is all this woman got. What did she do? She threw that in the treasury of the temple. And what did Jesus do? He called his disciples to him. He says, come here. I want you to learn some lessons from this woman. And you know what he's saying to us today? Come here. Come here. I want you to learn something from this poor widow. A certain poor widow. I want you to learn something from her. Verily I say unto you, or truly, or so be it, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance. But she, of her want, of her desire. This is what she wanted to do above anything else, is give this money to God. Think about that. Think about that. Even all of she had to live on, she gave that to God. Think about that. She approached the chest in an inconspicuously manner. She put her contribution in. Then she quietly slipped away. She may have lived and died without ever knowing the influence of the act that she performed on that day. It lives on in history. She probably never knew that. But it lives on. And it's something for us to learn from today as well. Jesus called his disciples to himself. He taught them some valuable lessons that day. And he wanted them to carefully observe exactly what she did. What did she do? Number one. What she did showed her trust in God. Her trust in God. She put everything that she had to live on in that chest. Think about that. Think about what she did. In her heart, she had been saying this: I believe God will take care of me. I don't know how he will do it, but I know he's going to do it. He will take care of me. She trusted in God above everything else. And she had confidence in him. There's no doubt in her mind. He is going to take care of me. Oh, what faith this woman had to go along with what Mike had to say. It was a faith that was beyond just belief. She trusted God completely. Think about that. She gave everything to God. Everything that she had to live on, she gave it to God. There was no doubt in her mind. Somehow or other, God was going to take care of her. God was going to take care of her. You know, oftentimes the disciples, they were with Jesus throughout his ministry, but they had certain doubts. And there are instances where the disciples are his apostles are put in kind of a bad light that they shouldn't be. One of these is, if you turn back to Mark chapter 4 for just a minute. Mark chapter 4. No, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus, this is when Jesus had been laboring all day, teaching, healing the blind, and they went into in a ship, in a boat, to cross over the sea. And in verse 37, you know, there arose a great storm of wind in verse chapter 4 of Mark. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And the disciples awoke him. And they said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now you got to remember this. They had been with Jesus. They had seen him heal individuals, heal the lepers, the blind. They knew that he could do miraculous deeds, didn't they? They knew that. Now, if you go back to the... I've got to impress upon this very important point about this. English doesn't cover that, and it's a shame. But in the original language, there's four ways of expressing a question. We only have one way in the English. There are four ways in the Greek. Now, what these disciples are saying, they're not saying that they don't believe that Jesus can do something. They're just saying, you know what, Lord? Oh, we're going to perish. Don't you think maybe you could do something here? Do something? We don't know what you can do, but, you know, we're going to perish if you don't do something. It wasn't they didn't believe. What was it? They didn't trust him. They didn't have a trusting faith. It's more than just believing. You've got to trust in him. You've got to trust in him. That he will meet your need. He will provide for you. He will take care of you. You know, the apostles in the early church suffered severe persecution. They died for their faith. But they never lacked trust in him.
They knew that they might die in this life, but their souls would go to be with Him throughout all eternity. That's a trusting faith. A trusting faith. That's what they lacked here. They believed Jesus. They knew He could do marvelous things, but they didn't fully trust Him. You know, we're going to perish here if you don't do something. And then, you know what Jesus did? He just said, "Peace be still," and the sea was silent. And then they were astonished at what He did. They lacked trust in Him, didn't they? They believed that He could do something, but boy, we need something done right now or we're going to perish. And then later on in Matthew chapter 14, again, another example. Peter, you remember, Jesus came to them walking on water, and Peter asked the Lord, "Can I come?" And what happens? He walks out, and what did he do? He took his eyes off Jesus, and what happened? He started to sink, didn't he? And he said, "Save me, Lord." Like trust. Sure, he believed in Jesus. He could see what Jesus did. But at that moment, he took his eyes off of Jesus. He started to sink. Do we trust in Jesus? Sure, you might believe in Him, but do you trust Him? You know, in John chapter 10, what Jesus said? He said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And they will not perish. No one's going to take them out of them. He used a double negative there. No, they will never perish. They're never going to perish. Do you believe that? Do you trust in Jesus to take care of you? He's coming back. Jesus is going to return. Do you truly believe that? He's going to come back to take His own home with Him. In the Hebrew letter, in Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew writer wrote for this for us, if I can find my passage of Scripture. I'm sorry, I lost the passage I was going to share with. But He's going to come. You know, He's going to, when He returns, He's going to visibly come, and every eye is going to see Him. And you know what? It's not going to be. And I hate to tell the majority of the religious world. I hate to tell them this, but it's not going to be something that's invisible, and that it's going to all at once. There's going to be a rapture, and all these people are going to leave, and it's going to be silent. What's going to happen? He's going to come, and He's going to destroy this world, and He's going to take His own home to be with Him throughout all eternity. Amen. That's what He's going to do. Do you believe that? Do you trust in Him? Do you trust that He's going to do that? I want to share with you a passage found in Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 3. I had a passage I want to share with you in Hebrews, and I couldn't remember where it was at. I'm sorry. But this one in 2 Peter. You notice what Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9? He said this. Actually, verse 8. "But beloved," he says, nothing can happen to hinder the execution of God's purposes. That's what he's saying here. Do not be ignorant of this one thing. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise. He's not delaying for any because He can't do something. He's not slack concerning His promises. Some might count slackness, but it's long-suffering. That's why He's putting up with us as long as He has. That's why He's putting up with this world as long as He has. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should have the opportunity to repent. But the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. The elements are going to melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein are going to be burned up. It's not going to be some silent, invisible rapture. In Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he's going to come He's going to take us up in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And He's going to destroy this earth. Do you believe Him? Do you trust in Him with all of your heart? This woman was an amazing woman. She trusted in God. She had confidence. What did her giving reveal something else to? Her spirituality. You know, giving is not just a physical act. When a giver goes, when the giving comes from the right kind of a heart, that is an obedient spiritual heart that desires to do what God desires of us. That's why God tells us to be a cheerful giver. You know what that word cheerful means? It means one who's prompted to do anything. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord, for you. Shows her spirituality. She had a heart that loved God and wanted to obey God. And she did what was pleasing unto God. That's what true giving is. True giving is between God and the giver. That's what it is. We give from the heart. We want to give to the Lord. That's what we do when we give of our means. We are giving to the Lord's work. We're giving to Him. That's what we're doing. Her giving is an example of obedience too. Obedience. Why was this woman at the temple? Why was she there? Why had she prepared her heart to put these coins in the chest? She had learned from God that she was to make this kind of contribution to His worship and to His work. She was giving because God had commanded her to do that. That was her responsibility. And she let nothing get in her way. She was going to do that. She didn't care what anybody thought. She had two little copper coins, and she was going to give it to the Lord. She didn't think this. She didn't think, oh, I only have a small amount. No one will ever notice that I didn't give it. Or, I don't know what those individuals are going to think. I'm going to come up here and just point these little two coins. And she didn't think that. I'm going to do it. And nothing stopped her. She went right ahead and did exactly what God wanted her to do. You want to be a Christian today? You do what God tells you to do. What's He tell you to do? Believe in Jesus as God's only begotten Son. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess that He's your Lord and Savior. And be buried in the waters of baptism. Have your sins washed away by His precious blood. She loved God. She wanted to obey God. Not even her poverty was going to stop her. I don't know what she looked like. She couldn't have had much. You know, you see all these religious individuals in her midst there, all dressed up and everything. This woman did not stop. I have something to do. I am going to obey God. And that's exactly what she did. It demonstrated her obedience. I've got to hurry. There's a couple other points I want to share with you. It shows something else too. It shows her humility. Her humility. Jesus wrote in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 3, when thou doest alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand's doing. And she didn't. She didn't only had two little copper coins, weren't worth much, but I'm going to give it to God because that's what I need to do, and I love Him, and I'm going to do it. She didn't have the attendants there at the temple blow a trumpet, tell what she was doing. She quietly, privately gave this little small gift. A sacrifice of love. It was more valuable to God than the largest gift that any individual gave that was a loveless gift. It meant so much to God. You know, if we give to God only with our hands, it doesn't count much. He wants our hearts. He wants all of us. This woman was ready to give all. And I want to share one more point with you. One more valuable lesson. that this woman exemplified in her giving. She exemplified sacrifice. Sacrifice. You know, sacrifice is measured by what one has left, not by those gifts given. What did she have left? She had nothing. Think about that. She had nothing. Think about this for just a minute. God gave His only Son. That was a sacrifice. Jesus gave His life. That was a sacrifice. This woman gave all that she had to God. She gave everything to God that she had to live on. That was a sacrifice. May I leave you with this question? Have you ever sacrificed to God? Have you ever sacrificed to Him? Do you give yourself to Him? Do you pray to Him often? Do you fellowship with Him often? Do you give yourself to Him? Do you let Him speak to you from His Word often? Do you listen to Him? Time and time again, Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Do you let Him speak to you? Do you make any sacrifices in your busy everyday life for Him? Something to think about, isn't it? You know, why did Jesus ask us to look at this woman's giving? He wanted us to learn these valuable lessons. It's very important. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, He sacrificed the ultimate sacrifice. He gave, as Paul tells us in his Corinthian letter, He gave His unspeakable gift. He gave us His Son. There's no greater sacrifice than that for you and for me. Why don't you believe in Him? Why don't you repent of your sins, confess that He's your Lord and Savior, and be buried in the waters of baptism? Obeying from the heart that form of doctrine which has been delivered unto you. Why not? If you have and you stray away from Him, please come back. Can we pray with you? Can we help you to be restored back to a right relationship with Him? Think about this woman. What a marvelous gift she gave. May we give ourselves to Him. Thank you. If there's anyone who might have a need that we can help you with, please come. We'd love